Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. We are going through the book of Zechariah, one of the minor prophets, and the series is called Minor Prophets for Interesting Times. Now, we've got to about chapter 9 of the book of Zechariah, and we see that Israel is being foretold that their restoration to the land, time of peace and relative prosperity that will come upon them and last up through about the time of Christ for the next, 400 to 500 years from the time that Zechariah wrote. So upon restoring Israel to the land and all those promises that come with that, God pronounces judgment beginning in chapter 9 on the nations around Israel. And as it's been said many times, judgment begins at the house of God. Well, it certainly does begin at the house of God, but where does it end? Where does it end? It ends with the nations that surround God's people and the people that are around His people. Let's continue with the judgment of God from chapter 9 of Zechariah, and we're looking at Matthew Henry's commentary for some details on that time. Continuing here, God next contends with the Philistines, with their great cities and great lords that bordered southward upon Israel. They shall be alarmed and affrighted by the word of the Lord, lighting and resting upon Damascus. The disgraces of Israel had many a time been published in the streets of Ashkelon, and they had triumphed in them. But now Ashkelon shall see the ruin of her friends and allies, and shall fear. Gaza also shall see it, and be very sorrowful, and Ekron, including that their own turns come next. Now that the cup of trembling goes round, what will become of their house when their neighbors is on fire? They had looked upon Tyre and Sidon as a barrier to their country, but when those strong cities were ruined, their expectations from them were ashamed, as our expectation from all creatures will be in the issue. Two, they shall themselves be ruined and wasted. The government shall be dissolved. The king shall perish from Gaza. Not only the present king shall be cut off, but there shall be no succession, no successor. Two, the city shall be dispeopled. Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. The rightful owners shall be expelled, either slain or carried into captivity. Three, foreigners shall take possession of their land and become masters of all its wealth. A bastard shall dwell in Ashdod. A spurious brood of strangers shall enter upon the inheritance of the natives, when they have no more right than a bastard has to the estates of the legitimate children. And thus God will cut off the pride of the Philistines, all of the strength and wealth which they prided themselves in, and which were the ground of their confidence in themselves and their contempt of the Israel of God. This prophecy of the destruction of the Philistines and of Damascus and Tyre was accomplished not long after this by Alexander the Great, who ravaged all these countries with his victorious army, took the cities and planted colonies in them, which Quintus Curtius gives a particular account of the history of his conquests. And some think he is meant by the bastard that shall dwell in Ashdod, for his mother Olympia owned him begotten in adultery, but pretended it was by Jupiter. The Jews afterwards got ground of the Philistines, Syrians, and others of their neighbor, and took some of their cities from them, and possessed their countries, as appears by the histories of Josephus and the Maccabees, and this was foretold. Three, some among them shall be converted and brought home to God by his gospel and grace, so some understand, as it promised, One, that God would take away their sins, that God would take away the sins of these nations, their blood and their abominations, their cruelties and their idolatries. God will part between them and these sins which they have rolled under their tongue as a sweet morsel, and are as loath to part with as men are to part with the meat out of their mouths, and which they hold fast between their teeth. Nothing is too hard for the grace of God to do, that he would accept a remnant of them for his own. He that remains shall be for our God. God would preserve a remnant even of these nations that should be the monuments of his mercy and grace and be set apart for him. And the disadvantages of their birth shall be no bar to their acceptance with God. But a Philistine shall be as acceptable to God upon gospel terms as one as Judah, nay, as a governor or chief one in Judah, and a man of Ekron shall be as a Jebusite, or a man of Jerusalem, as a proselyted Jebusite, as Araunah or the Jebusite. In Christ Jesus there is no distinction of nations, but all are one in him, all alike welcome to him. For in all this God intends mercy for Israel, and it is in kindness to them that God will deal thus with the neighboring nations, to avenge their quarrel for what is past, and to secure for them a future. Thus some understand the seventh verse as intimating, one, that thus God would deliver his people from their bloody adversaries who hated them and to whom they were an abomination when they were just ready to devour them and make a prey of them. I will take away his blood, that is, the blood of Israel, out of the mouth of the Philistines and from between their teeth, when in their hatred of them and enmity to them, they were greedily devouring them. Two, that lie would thus give them victory and dominion over them. And he that remains, that is the remnant of Israel, shall be for our God, shall be taken into his favor, and shall own him, and be owned by him. And he shall be as a governor in Judah, and the Jews have been long in servitude. They shall recover their ancient dignity and be victorious, as David and other governors in Judah formerly were. And Ekron, that is the Philistines, shall be as the Jebusites, and the rest of the devoted nations, who were brought into subjection under them. However, this is plainly the sense of Zechariah 9:8, that God will take his people under his special protection, and therefore will weaken their neighbors, that it may not be in their power to do them a mischief. I will encamp about my house because of the army. Note, God's house lies in the midst of an enemy's country, and his church is a lily among thorns, and therefore God's power and goodness are to be observed in the special preservation of it, the camp of the saints being a little flock in comparison with the numerous armies of the powers of darkness that are set against it round about, would certainly be swallowed up if the angels of God did not encamp about it, as they did about Elisha, to deliver it. When the times are unusually perilous, when armies are marching and countermarching, and all bearing ill will to Zion, then Providence will, as it were, double its guard upon the church of God because of him that passes by and because of him that returns, that whether he return a conqueror or conquered, he may do it no harm. And as none that pass by shall hurt them, so no oppressor shall pass through them any more. They shall have no enemy within themselves to rule them with rigor and to make their lives bitter to them with sore bondage as of old in Egypt. This was fulfilled when, for some time after the struggles of the Maccabees, Judah was a free and flourishing state, or perhaps when Alexander the Great, struck with an awe of Judas the high priest, favored the Jews and took them under his protection, and at the same time, he wasted the neighboring countries, and the reason given for all this is, for now have I seen with my eyes, now have I carefully distinguished between my people and other people, with whom before they seemed to have their lot in common, and have made it to appear that I know those that are mine. This agrees with the Psalms, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Now his eyes, which run to and fro through the earth, shall fix upon them, that he may show himself tender of them and strong on their behalf. Okay, chapter 9 of Zechariah and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant have I sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. And the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. The prophet breaks forth into a joyful representation of the coming of the Messiah, of whom the ancient Jews explained in this prophecy. He took the character of their king. When he entered Jerusalem amidst the hosannas of the multitude, but his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It shall not be advanced by outward force or carnal weapons. His gospel shall be preached to the world and be received among the heathen. A sinful state is a state of bondage. It is a pit or dungeon in which there is no water, no comfort, and we are all by nature prisoners in this pit. Through the precious blood of Christ, many prisoners of Satan have been set at liberty from the horrible pit in which they must otherwise have perished, without hope or comfort. While we admire him, let us seek that his holiness and truth may be shown in our own spirits and conduct. These promises have accomplishment in the spiritual blessings of the gospel which we enjoy by Jesus Christ. As the deliverance of the Jews was typical of redemption by Christ, so this invitation speaks to all the language of the gospel call. Sinners are prisoners, but prisoners of hope. Their case is sad, but not desperate, for there is hope in Israel concerning them. Christ is a stronghold, a strong tower, in whom believers are safe from the fear of the wrath of God, the curse of the law, and the assaults of spiritual enemies. To him we must turn with lively faith. To him we must flee and trust in his name under all trials and sufferings. It is here promised that the Lord would deliver his people. This passage also refers to the apostles and the preachers of the gospel in the early ages. God was evidently with them. His words from their lips pierced the hearts and consciences of the hearers. They were wondrously defended in persecution and were filled with the influences of the Holy Spirit. They were saved by the Good Shepherd as his flock and honored as jewels of his crown. The gifts, graces, and consolations of the Spirit poured forth on the day of Pentecost and in succeeding times are represented. Sharp have been and still will be the conflicts of Zion's sons, but their God will give them success. The more we are employed and satisfied with his goodness, the more we shall admire the beauty revealed in the Redeemer. Whatever gifts God bestows on us, we must serve him cheerfully with them. And when refreshed with blessings, we must say, how great is his goodness. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. To every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock, and were troubled, because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, and out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. Spiritual blessings had been promised under figurative allusions to earthly plenty. Seasonable rain is a great mercy, which we may ask of God when there is most need of it, and we may look for it to come. We must, in our prayers, ask for mercies in their proper time. The Lord would make bright clouds and give showers of rain. This may be an exhortation to seek the influences of the Holy Spirit in faith and by prayer, through which the blessings held forth in the promises are obtained and enjoyed. The prophet shows the folly of making addresses to idols, as their fathers had done. The Lord visited the remnant of his flock in mercy, and was about to renew their courage and strength for conflict and victory. Every creature is to us what God makes it to be, everyone raised to support the nation as a cornerstone does the building, or to unite those that differ, as nails join the different timbers, must come from the Lord, and those employed to overcome their enemies must have strength and success from him. This may be applied to Christ. To him we must look to raise up persons to unite, support, and defend his people. He will never say, seek ye me in vain. Zechariah 10, verse 6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I shall sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them all out of Syria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves of the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Here are precious promises to the people of God, which look to the state of the Jews, and even to the latter days of the church. Preaching the gospel is God's call for souls to come to Jesus Christ. Those whom Christ redeemed by his blood, God will gather by his grace. Difficulties shall be got over easily and effectually, as those in the way of the deliverance out of Egypt. God himself will be their strength and their song. When we resist, and so overcome our spiritual enemies, then our hearts shall rejoice. If God strengthen us, we must bestir ourselves in all the duties of the Christian life, must be active in the work of God, and we must do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through Zechariah. This completed, I believe we completed chapter 10 there, and we will continue when we come back in a few minutes.